Father in heaven, thank you so much for seeing us safely through this week. Thank you, Lord, for watching over all of us. Thank you, Father, for taking care of us. And thank you for giving each and every one of us guardian angels, that if we submit our lives into your hands, Lord, they'll watch over us always. And Father, as we've now come into your Sabbath hours, as we're about to open your word to study, we ask for your presence. We ask for your Holy Spirit to guide and to lead each and every one of us. And Lord, please, speak to our hearts this evening, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. We've been slowly getting through the Sermon on the Mount, that famous sermon that Jesus preached. It's one of the longest sermons. There was another long passage that Jesus had in the book of John. And maybe if we have time, I'm not sure how long this lockdown is going to go for. And, you know, many people seem to be going out and about already, but, you know, it's not really totally lifted. And I'm just asking for everybody that is in Malaysia here to make sure you're responsible so that we don't go into relapse and a longer need for being in a lockdown. But I'm thankful that we have this opportunity to study together. And Matthew chapter 7. Let's start there in verse 8. Verse 7 and 8. The Bible says, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." There are three things that we are asked to do. The first is to ask, the second is to seek, the third is to knock. And it's given in this specific order. What comes first? Asking. So let's start by looking at that first, because, you know, it says that if we ask, we'll receive. If we seek, we'll find. If we knock, it will be opened to us. And of course, the general thing that we want to be asking ourselves this evening is, what is this purpose of asking, seeking, and knocking, right? But let's start with asking. How should we ask so that we can receive? Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 21 and verse 22. Please open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 21 and verse 22. This is what the Bible says. "And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." Friends, I think that some of us, when we pray, we probably don't believe. Because Jesus says here, whatever you ask in what? Prayer. If you believe it, you'll receive it. But maybe, I think some of us, we're not sure whether God will answer it or not. And how is it that we can pray with such assurance and with such confidence? Like Elijah, he prayed 7 times before rain came, right? How could he have such assurance that God would answer? I mean, if you've prayed for 7 times in one day, how can you have that sort of assurance? You got to believe. But what does our belief have to be based upon? It has to be based upon the word of God. For God told Elijah, "Elijah, go show yourself to King Ahab, and I am going to send rain upon the earth." And so after the end of Mount Carmel experience, he sent all the people off and he went to pray, because God had not sent rain yet, but he knew it was going to come. Why? God told him. Friends, sometimes we ask, but we don't really believe, because we don't see the things that we're asking for written in his word. Does God say, "Hey, you should pray for people to be converted and be one to my kingdom and to be in heaven"? Yes. With those sorts of prayers, we can have assurance that God will answer. So the first condition that we see here is when we ask and we want to receive, because not everybody receives, it's possibly because they, when they ask in prayer, they're not believing. Let's go over to John chapter 14 and verse 13. John chapter 14 and verse 13. What else about asking? If we're to ask and we want to receive, how do we do that? John 14, 13. "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Friends, whatever we ask in whose name? In the name of Jesus. Does that mean whatever we pray for and we end the prayer in Jesus' name, that God will give it? No. It means that we got to pray in His name. We got to take His name upon us as well. It means that we must have His character. We got to be willing to follow Him in whatever He does and whatever He wants us to do. Friends, we got to ask in the name of Jesus. But look, what are the conditions? There are some conditions for God to answer our prayers, you know. Let's start by going to John chapter 15 and verse 7. John 15 verse 7, and this is very much connected with praying in the name of Jesus. John chapter 15 and verse 7. The Bible says here, "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." Friends, if we what? Abide in Him, and His words abide in us, then whatever we ask, it'll be done. It's almost like God is giving us a guarantee, but the condition is we got to learn to abide in Christ. And not only that, He must abide in us. In what way? His words. Friends, if we are to ask God of anything, we need to ask that His word would abide in us. Why? It's not simply, I do my devotion, I spend time in the Bible, let me read one chapter, let me read 10 chapters today. And then so when I pray, God will bless me. And sometimes we use Him as this little idol to bless us. God, I spend time with you bless me, okay? And that's how we think sometimes. But is that what God means here? For you to abide in me and my words abide in you? Absolutely not. If His words would abide in us, it would begin to change us. It would begin to change our mind, our thoughts, our character. It would change the way in what we want to ask, because our hobbies will be different, the way we spend our time will be different, our priorities will be different. Instead of asking for $1 million, we'll be asking to be content in the little things that we have already. If we allow His word to abide in us, if we allow Jesus to abide in us, it's not that we are trying to ask favors, we're your friend so He can give us favors, but abide in us so that we can be like you, that you can live through us. And if Jesus is living through us and He is in us, the Father will be delightful to answer whatever, because it's Jesus that's asking, because He's in us. So that's what it means for His word to abide in us. And then let's go to Psalms chapter 66 and verse 18. This really then is the natural progression. Psalms 66 and verse 18. What other conditions do we have here in regards to asking? Psalm 66 verse 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Friends, look, there are some prayers that God will always hear. The prayer of the sinner. When you're praying for forgiveness, He will always hear that. You're praying for a clean heart, He will always want to clean it. You're praying the prayer of repentance and you want to change, God will give you that power. He will always answer that prayer. The prayer of conversion, the prayer of change. But there are some prayers that in order for your prayer to be heard, you got to make sure you don't regard iniquity in your heart. You got to make sure that you don't have sin in your heart. You got to make sure that your sins are confessed already. There are some prayers that some of us pray that hit the ceiling and come right back down, and God does not hear it. And so friends, there are conditions if we want to ask, because not everyone that asks will receive. There are conditions behind it. So what should we be seeking for? Okay, so we've narrowed it down a little bit. Okay, the ask, and then now seek. What's the next step? Seek. What's that What does that mean when it comes to seeking? Matthew chapter 6, we've already looked at this before. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. What does it mean to seek? This is a scripture song. Many of us know this. Maybe you don't know the exact reference, but it says, "But seek ye first what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added to you." So what do we have to learn to seek? Because it says, if we seek, we will find. Friends, Jesus is not telling us to seek him for treasure, not the money. Don't seek him for wisdom so that you can be a better student or a better worker so you can get a promotion or earn more money or maybe earn $1 million in one day by trading shares and know which share to buy. God, please, I'm seeking you today so that you can bless me. No, friends. God, he is not about to be used. He's not like the other religions out there. God, just, you know, I do whatever, I'll bow, and then please bless me. No, friends. The thing that God wants us to seek, that if we seek, we'll find, it's his kingdom and his righteousness. And then all these other things will be added. You don't need to seek all these other things. Do you know what all these other things were? In the earlier verses, when you read in Matthew chapter 6, what were those things that will be added to us automatically? The clothing, the food, you don't need to worry about it. These are what we call necessities. Could it be that too many of us, we are not happy with necessities. We have wants and desires that we want God to satisfy us with. I want you to consider, as you're listening this evening, where are you sitting? Are you sitting under a bridge? Do you have a roof over your head? Maybe that roof is leaking, but it's better than a bridge, isn't it? Maybe you're a little bit hungry, but you ate all the food that you had, but at least you still had dinner. Do you see that? God, he will give you all your needs. He might not give you all your wants, but if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added to us. And could it be that some of us were too covetous, were too greedy? The needs are not enough. God, I need to retire early. I need to have a bigger bank account. I need other things. But they really aren't needs, they're wants. And so we leave off seeking God first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We take our own life into our own hands, seeking for the things that maybe God doesn't want us to have. Friends, we should be asking. We should be praying. There are conditions to our asking, though. We've got to pray in the name of Jesus. We've got to make sure that we allow his word to abide in us. We got to make sure that our lives are free from sin. And then we got to seek. We got to seek his word, his kingdom, and his righteousness. But how? Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 13. What does it mean to seek? We got to seek his word because righteousness is Jesus. And Jesus is found in his word. My tongue shall speak of thy commandments, for thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. Psalms 119, 172. That is his word. We got to seek that. But how? Jeremiah 29 and verse 13. The Bible says this, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with what? All your heart." Some of us, we don't receive his righteousness because we're not seeking with all 100% of our heart. In what regard does that mean then? How do we know if we're seeking God with all our heart? Well, let's go over to Matthew 22, verse 37. Matthew 22 and verse 37. What does it mean? How are we able to seek God with all our heart? Matthew 22, verse 37, Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Friends, if we are to seek God with all our hearts, we must first love him with all our hearts. We cannot be divided. We can't love God and we can't love mammon or money at the same time. The love of money is the root of all evil, my dear friends. There's nothing wrong with money. We need it to survive. We need it to buy things for our wants and our needs. But we got to learn to love God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind. And if we do love him, it becomes easier to seek him with all our heart. Friends, if we are seeking him with all our heart and we're seeking his righteousness, we're seeking his kingdom, the way that we ask and what we ask will be really different. Very different. So, look, maybe some of us, we aren't righteous because we're not seeking God with all our heart. We're seeking him with some of our heart. Maybe even you're spending a little bit of time in devotion, but are you really seeking him with all your heart? Are you making him the first, the last, the best of your day? What do you do when your time is free? What does your mind wander off to? When you're in love with your wife, all you do is think about her. When I'm in Bible studies, 2 months ago, it's been 2 months already since the lockdown, but you know, when you get into Bible studies and you come out, you know, the first thing I always do, I'm wondering what my wife is doing. I'll message her, I'm telling her I'm going to the next place or I'm on the way home. You know, when you're in love with somebody, your mind is preoccupied with that person. Not that you're thinking about them 100% of the time, but with all your heart, you love them. There's not another woman in sight. There's no other God that we put before our Savior Jesus Christ. Friends, do you really seek him with all your heart? Or are you making money your God? Some of us, we are seeking for too much. We are living beyond our means. Some of us need to live simpler. And so because we aren't and we want a certain lifestyle, we want a certain luxury, we put ourselves into position to have it, but then somehow we lose sight of God. And then we lose sight of the seeking. And then we could get even to this point and we turn around and blame God and say, God, why didn't you bless me? I came to church every single week. Why didn't you bless me? You know what I mean? And so some of us, we forget about God because we get caught up with the world. Jesus says, if you ask, you receive. If you seek, you'll find. And it's not about seeking the riches or the treasures of this earth. It is seeking Jesus Christ. It is seeking for that hidden treasure, the pearl of great price. But you'll only find him if you seek and search with all your heart. And then the third step is knocking. And you know, I went through and looking into scripture. This is really the only place that talks about knocking. The only other place that we really find is Jesus knocking on the door of our heart. And that's got nothing to do with us knocking, okay? But if we fulfill the first two conditions, all right, God says the knocking will be easy. It'll be open. But look, I want to show you what the focus of our study is this evening. We've been going through this ask, seek, and knock, okay? However, come back with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 and starting in verse 9 now. So we read verse 7 and 8 already, but you know, Jesus, he expounds on this about asking and seeking and knocking. And even though we've gone to other texts, I want us to come back now to Matthew chapter 7, verse 9. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good gifts to them that ask him? In every single one of these verses, there is one word that we've seen already that has been repeated every single time. It is what? Ask. Seek is not mentioned again. Knock is not mentioned again either. Ask is repeated every single time, three times in every single one of these verses. And God is giving us the assurance, look, if you would only ask, you'll receive it. The problem really is not in our seeking. Okay, maybe seeking has a bit of a problem there as well, but the seeking and the knocking, he's not focusing on that. We fall short in our asking. Okay? And we've talked about this. What should we ask for? We should be asking for God's will to be done, right? What should we be asking for? We should be praying. We've got to make sure that, you know, our lives are filled with His Spirit, isn't it? But yes, there are things that we should be asking for. But I want you to come with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 11. Here's a parallel passage. There is one thing that we should be asking for above all others. One thing. Luke chapter 11. And look, if you pray for this one thing, you still got to be like Elijah. You still got to pray seven times if you think that you want to receive it. Because sometimes we say, God, this is your will. How come you've not given it to me? Because sometimes he tests us. How sincere is our asking? Luke chapter 11, starting in verse 9. Luke 11 and verse 9. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Exactly the same as what we saw in Matthew chapter 7. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Fathers, would you do that? Your son asks you for a bread, would you give him a stone? Or a fish, a serpent? Or if you ask an egg, will you offer him a scorpion? Are we really that wicked? Obviously not. If our children are asking for food, we would give it to them, right? Verse 13. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? Friends, your children ask for food, and you give them that. They ask for clothes, you give them to that. They ask for wants. It's desires, it's not needs. And even then, sometimes we give it, right? Many times we give it. But there is one thing that Jesus says that he can give the very best. As a father, he would give this to us. What is it? The Holy Spirit. Friends, if there is one thing that we should be asking for, it is the Holy Spirit. This is the best gift of all. Many of us, we ask wrongly. We ask incorrectly. We don't ask correctly. We're not praying according to God's promises. Come with me in your Bibles to James chapter 4 and verse 3. James chapter 4, verse 3. Let's turn our Bibles there. James chapter 4 and verse 3, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Many of us, we're asking for wrong things. We are praying selfish prayers. The guarantee that God gives to answered prayer is when we pray for the Holy Spirit. Not to be smarter in school, not to get a bigger paycheck, not to get a bigger house, not to give us that wisdom for that selfish purposes. Maybe the reason why many of us do not have praises is because we're asking for selfish things. Do you understand that? We ask for too many selfish things. And we got to learn to ask beyond our own self and our own feelings. For my son to be healed, you know, my son was sick for 3 days. And, you know, for him to be healed, that could be a selfish prayer. It could be. How could it be not God's will to heal somebody? Of course, I understand that. But do you pray for other people that are sick? Do you understand that? Sometimes the sphere of our prayers is within the little circle and the little bubble that we live in. But God says, you got to pray for the Holy Spirit. For what reason? Of course, I've not shown you why yet. But I want you to understand that sometimes, and in case many times, we don't get our prayers answered because we're praying for selfish prayers. Selfish things. So, why should we pray for the Holy Spirit? What's so special about the Holy Spirit? Right? That this is the one thing that God says, it's the best gift I can give you. John 14, 26. Let's go there. John chapter 14 and verse 26. Why should we be praying for the Holy Spirit? John 14, 26. Let's turn our Bibles there. Okay? John 14, 26, the Bible says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Do you know that the fact that you can do good on an exam, it is a blessing of the Holy Spirit. He teaches you all things and he brings all things to your remembrance. Some of you, you have a photographic memory. I'm telling you, it's the Holy Spirit. It's not you. Do you understand it? It's not any of the talent that you might have or you think that you might possess or a gift that you inherited from somebody. No, this is the Holy Spirit. He is the one that teaches us all things. The ability to learn is a blessing from the Holy Spirit. And all of us, we learn throughout our lifetime. We do. John chapter 16 and verse 13. Why else should we be asking for the Holy Spirit? Why is the Holy Spirit so important? John chapter 16 and verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. The Holy Spirit guides us. He guides our life. He tells you which job you should choose if you ask for him to be in your life. He tells you what sort of occupation that you should choose for your studies. You know, what course of study you should have. He even tells you, if you really trust in him, that, you know, which house should you buy and where you should live. When's the right time to move out from the cities? You know, all these things. He guides our lives. But you know, even to a certain extent, all these things are selfish prayers. Do you know that? God, please give me your Holy Spirit so you can teach me all things so I can study less. Or you can bless me so I can have a better life in the work that I do so I don't have to get stressed out in my work. You know? But friends, these can all be selfish as well. Our prayers, I mean, can you understand that even our Christian life can be so self-centered sometimes? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Why else should we be praying for the Holy Spirit? You know, and look, this is from the Word of God, but I'm just showing you that sometimes when we pray for these things that the Bible tells us to pray for, it can still be self-centered. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. Why else should we be praying for the Holy Spirit? Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. 1 Peter 1, 2. Through sanctification of what? The Spirit, and obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Friends, why should we be praying for the Holy Spirit? So that we can be sanctified. And let me put a different twist on it. God, please give me your Holy Spirit because I don't want to die. I want to go to heaven. It can even be selfish reason. You see that? So even sanctification could have a selfish reason behind it. But I'm sure that as we pray for sanctification, God begins to change our hearts and our minds. But it can't be focused on self. You know, friends, these three texts that I shared with you could easily be misunderstood. And we could twist it and make it into selfish reasons. You see that? This is not the reasons why Jesus was asking us to pray for the Holy Spirit. I'm going to show you, okay? This is not the reasons why. Even though they are good reasons, okay? And they're from the Bible. He'll teach us all things. He'll guide our life. He'll sanctify us. We need these in our life as well. We want to be taught. We want to be guided. We want to be sanctified. But this is not the reason why Jesus says, the best gift that my Father can give you is the Holy Spirit. What is it? Why should we be praying for Holy Spirit? Let's go back to Luke chapter 11. Okay, we started in Matthew 7, but Luke 11 is the parallel passage that I showed you in verse 9 to 13, okay? So Jesus says that whole passage, at the end in verse 13, he says, my heavenly Father is more than willing than a father on earth is to give good gifts to their children. He's more willing to give the Holy Spirit if you ask. But I want to take you back to verse 5. Because Jesus tells a little story before he talks about the ask, seek, and knock. Luke chapter 11 and verse 5. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves? So you go to, you knock on a friend's house and hey, I need 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his what? Importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needed. That word importunity does not mean unfortunate circumstances, okay? That word importunity does not mean, he felt sorry for you and that was it. No, that word importunity means shamelessness. This guy comes to another friend at midnight, knocks on the door, rings the doorbell. I need some food. Why? Not for self. It's not selfish reasons. What's the reason why this person knocks on his friend's door? It's because a friend came and there's no food for him to give him. Nothing. So he goes next door and says, look, I need some bread. Please. He's shameless. He doesn't care what time it is. Even though this person's in bed, it's like, I'm sorry to disturb you, but I need some bread. I need some food. What is this person asking for? Bread from a friend to give to someone else. The person that this, the friend that he woke up represents God. The friend that has come, who's hungry. He's hungry for what? Bread, the word of God. You know, friends, what is this talking about? God will guarantee, give you the Holy Spirit if you are asking for bread to give to somebody else. He doesn't guarantee bread just for selfish reasons. He doesn't guarantee the Holy Spirit for selfish reasons. Yes, you might claim the promise that Solomon asked for wisdom and he gave it. You might look at the promises in the Bible and say, look, you answered all these people's prayer requests. Why have you not answered mine? Well, maybe because there needs to be adjustment in thinking. Maybe you are praying selfish prayers. Look, Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Let's go there. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Friends, that's outreach. We are asking not for selfish reasons, for a better life, for more money, for more possessions, for more clothes, for better food, for whatever. We're not asking any longer for selfish reasons. The fact that God will guarantee an answer to a prayer like this is when we are asking for somebody else. And so let me tie it in to personal application here, friends. Maybe some of us, we don't have any praises to share because we're not seeing God answer any of our prayers. Do you see that? Maybe you've been too inward focused. Maybe all you've been worried about is your life and your possessions and your house and your car and your job. Do you know that there are hundreds out there, thousands out there? Because of this lockdown, they've lost jobs. They have no money. They're suffering on the streets, no food. Some people, I heard, have not eaten for 8 days. What are we praying for? What are you asking God for? Are you praying for the Holy Spirit just for yourself? God might not answer that unless you're praying for more money so that you can give it to someone else, that you can feed someone else. You know, when it comes to fundraising for the Bible Workers in my church here, I have no shame. I will ask. But to ask for myself, I have a lot of shame. I won't do that. I'm very much blessed. Financially, physically, spiritually, family-wise, God has blessed me. I don't need to ask for that. What we need to ask today, that we can be a witness. There are hundreds, thousands, millions out there that have never heard of the name of Jesus. What is God's people doing? They're running after the world's goods. They got their sight and their eyes set upon worldly things. They're not seeking first the kingdom of God, or they're not seeking God with all their heart. If you searched for God with all your heart, and He really answered your asking of Holy Spirit, you would never doubt God's love. You would never backslide. You would never fall away. Do you understand that? Yes, it's a day-by-day, moment-by-moment experience. And any of us can fall at any time, friends. I'm not saying it's a guarantee. But if we have tasted of His goodness, oh, friends, we would never leave. But could it be that many of us, we've not sought God with all our heart because we're asking for the wrong thing? Tonight, how can we be a witness? How can we guarantee that God will answer our prayers? Tonight, I want you to pray. God, please give me your Holy Spirit so that I can be a witness. Try asking that prayer. If you pray that prayer, I'm pretty sure God's going to answer it. Because He wants His children to be witnesses. He wants them to finish the gospel work and give His word a certain sound. He wants them busy and being involved in the work of saving others. He wants them out there to be a blessing to the world because they've been blessed as well. Friends, could it be the reason that many of us are not asking for the Holy Spirit? Is because we're not witnesses? Try asking God tonight. God, give me your Holy Spirit so that I can be a witness. And He might bless you, but when He does, don't forget that the reason why He blessed you is so that you could be a witness. Do you understand that? Solomon, he lost sight of that. He asked when he was humble and lowly and meek, when he asked for the Holy Spirit, God was so happy, He gave it. And He gave him wisdom. He gave them the life of his enemies. He blessed him abundantly. But then he got all these things and he forgot why God blessed him for this reason. God blessed him with all this wisdom. And the Queen of Sheba came and says, not even half of what I heard was told about who you were and what you did here. She was shocked. We don't know if she was converted, but she was shocked. And he had that opportunity to witness for God. But sometimes, somewhere along the way of asking, even though we might be sincere tonight, friends, maybe many years or many months ago, you prayed for God to really bless you so that you could be a witness. And then God blessed you and poured out His blessing upon you. Have you remembered that that blessing was so that you could be a witness? You understand that? So I'm challenging you this evening. You got to change and shift the way you're asking God, that He would give you His Holy Spirit for just one reason alone, that you can be a blessing. Let's stop praying selfish prayers. Inward focus. My house, my family, my life, my job, my studies. Let's start praying for others. Let's start praying for people, that they can be converted. Pray for your neighbor. Pray for those that you work with, that you study with. There are so many people that we can pray for. And then when we pray for them, you say, God, please, give me your Holy Spirit so I can know what to say to them. But too many times when it comes to witnessing, oh, pastor, I don't know what to say. You do it. You know? But if you're praying for the Holy Spirit and you say, God, give me your Holy Spirit so that I can witness to this person, then you don't need to go have the pastor on quick, fast dial or shortcut to call him, hey, what's this? No. Because the Holy Spirit that inspires your pastor is the same that inspires you. And you might even have more of the Holy Spirit than your pastor. Do you understand that? So today, let's stop asking amiss so that we can consume it upon our own lusts. Let's start praying according to the will of God. And if we do, we will see the work wrapped up very quickly in a short amount of time. Let's pray. Father in heaven, this evening, Lord, we realize that we've been asking for the wrong reason. Lord, please forgive us. Because many times, all of us, we've all prayed selfish prayers, just self-focused. Lord, we want to be different tonight. We want to be your children. And you're so ready to give us your Holy Spirit, Lord. You are. You're just waiting to pour Him out upon us. But when we get on our knees and we close our eyes and we pray, we pray for the wrong things, Lord. So tonight, I'm just asking that you'd please teach us to pray. Help us to know what it means to pray for other people. Be with my brothers and sisters here, Lord. Help us to pray that we would be witnesses, that all of us would be lights that are set on a hill, that when people see us and meet us, they'll be converted to your kingdom and to your glory. So, Father, please, give us your Holy Spirit that we might be that witness this evening. For we pray in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.